You are tuned into Adventist World Radio, powered by SID Media.
All right, we are going to be connecting with Elder Ngandu, who's going to take us through the conversation around the remnant and its mission. This is one of the fundamental beliefs of the Seventh-day Adventist Church. It's always a blessing to study these and to understand why we believe what we believe, all right? Now, there is a special meaning to the remnant of believers that will exist in the last days when earth is at its worst and right before Christ's second coming. And Scripture tells us who will make up this end-time remnant: those who keep the commandments of God and hold to the testimony of Jesus. That's found in Revelation 12, verse 17. But what exactly does that mean, especially in the context of the end times? And what does that mean for you and I right now? What does that mean for us today? Elder Ngandu joins us on the line to guide us through this conversation. My Elder, good morning, or rather good afternoon, and welcome to the program.
Good afternoon, Bongi. How are you doing?
I'm doing very well. Thank you so much for joining us this afternoon. I trust that your week is going well so far.
So good.
Very glad to hear that. All right, my Elder, we're talking about the remnant and its mission. Before we even get into the mission, what is the meaning of remnant? Who is the remnant?
Okay, so the word remnant generally refers to a small part, a portion that remains after the main part has been used, removed, destroyed, or disappeared. It implies a leftover, a remainder, or surviving trace. The concept of the remnant is a central theological belief, especially concerning our understanding of the end times. This concept of the remnant isn't exclusive to the end times for Adventists. We believe that throughout history, God has always had a faithful group of believers who remained loyal to Him despite widespread apostasy, compromise, or persecution. Examples of these people include Noah and his family, or the 7,000 during Elijah's time who did not bow to Baal. So principally, we would say the remnant is that faithful group that remains when the bigger group has been destroyed.
Right, right. And how was the term used in the Bible, the term remnant? How do we see it being used in the Word of God?
So the term remnant is significant and recurring theme throughout the Bible, carrying various shades of meaning, but generally referring to a portion that remains after a larger group has been diminished, often through judgment or catastrophe. The remaining portion often carries a special theological significance. In the Old Testament, the concept of the remnant is particularly prominent, especially in the prophetic books. Survivors of catastrophe or judgment, literal survivors, often remnant refers to those who physically survive a disaster, war, famine, or divine judgment. For example, Noah and his family were a remnant after the flood. That is Genesis chapter 6 up to chapter 9. Lot's family was a remnant from Sodom and Gomorrah. That's Genesis chapter 19. National remnant, Israel, Judah. The most common usage of remnant refers to the survivors of God's judgment upon Israel or Judah due to their disobedience or idolatry. Assyrian and Babylonian captivities. Prophets like Isaiah, Jeremiah, and Ezekiel frequently speak of a remnant or Israel or Judah that would survive the Assyrian invasion or the Babylonian exile, such as Isaiah 10, verse 20 to 22, Jeremiah 23, verse 3, Ezekiel chapter 5, verse 1 to 12. This remnant was often small in number compared to the original population. The return from exile, the post-exilic books, Ezra, Nehemiah, Haggai, Zechariah, refers to the Jews who returned from Babylonian captivity as the remnant. This is found in Ezra chapter 9, verse 8, Haggai chapter 1, verse 12, and 14. They were the core from which the nation would be reestablished, a faithful core. Beyond mere physical survival, the term remnant often carries a spiritual dimension, referring to those who remain faithful to God amidst widespread apostasy or unfaithfulness. Elijah and the 7,000. In 1 Kings chapter 19, verse 18, God tells Elijah that he has reserved 7,000 in Israel, all whose knees have not bowed to Baal, and every mouth that has not kissed him. This demonstrates that even when it seems like everyone has abandoned God, there is a faithful remnant he preserves.
Amen.
The concept highlights God's faithfulness to his covenant promises. Despite Israel's unfaithfulness, God always preserves a loyal core through whom he will continue his redemptive plan and fulfill his promises. So we have other references like eschatological remnant. Because of time, will not go down. I'll just give a highlight. We have hope and restoration. Now, the remnant theme is often intertwined with the message of hope and future restoration.
Okay.
Even after severe judgment, in Isaiah 11, verse 11 to 16, in Micah chapter 2, verse 12, in Zechariah chapter 8, 6 to 12, you find that, you see, that the idea is God's in it, the issue of hope and future restoration. It's not just a term that you refer at as a leftover, a remaining, but it carries with it hope and the future restoration.
Mm.
So you find also in the New Testament, when you read Romans chapter 9, up to chapter 11, there's the concept of the remnant there. Now, I was going to talk about the other portion, which I'm going to answer the next question, which is referring to the theme of this lesson.
Okay. So let's get into that then. Who makes up the remnant? Who will be a part of the remnant?
Okay. So the Seventh-day Adventist believers, in the last days, just before Christ's second coming, there will be a specific end-time remnant of believers.
Mm-hmm.
This group is described in Revelation chapter 12, verse 17. Now, this is our core text.
Mm-hmm.
As those who keep the commandment of God and have the testimony of Jesus Christ. So these two components are very important for us as Adventists. According to us, this theology of end-time remnant is characterized by, number one, obedience to God's commandments. Okay?
Mm-hmm.
This includes keeping of the Sabbath day, Saturday, as a seventh-day Adventist or as a seventh day of the week,
mm-hmm.
in accordance with the fourth commandment. Number two, the testimony of Jesus. This, as Adventists, we understand it to be the gift of prophecy, particularly as manifested in the writings of Ellen G. White, one of the founders of the Seventh-day Adventist Church, the faith of Jesus, meaning they uphold the doctrine content of Christian faith in their entirety and have an unwavering trust in God, patience and resilience. They are able to remain committed to God and his word, even when facing persecution.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Yes.
That's beautiful. And when we talk about the remnant and this description that you've given, does that then refer to a specific denomination, or is it just anyone who keeps the commandments of God? Or are we saying that those who keep the commandments of God just somehow happen to all be a part of the same denomination? I don't know if my question is making sense.
Yes. So as Seventh-day Adventist Church, we traditionally identify ourselves as the end-time remnant church.
Okay.
I want you to hear me correctly. We traditionally identify ourselves as the end-time remnant church. We believe this is coming from the prophetic period of 1,260 years,
mm-hmm.
ending in 1798 AD. And we have a specific message. Now, while we believe that we are the remnant church, we also identify the nuances of the understanding of the eschatological remnant of the remnant church is a visible organized body, but it may contain both saved and unsaved individuals.
Okay.
The eschatological remnant refers to those who will actually be saved through the final crisis, and this group will include faithful Adventists and those who are outside the Adventist church, but who will respond to the end time message and accept Christ as their personal savior.
Mm-hmm.
In essence, the remnant in the Seventh-day Adventist church signifies a divinely appointed faithful group of believers in the last days with a crucial mission to prepare the world for Jesus' return.
Okay, I think that makes sense. Now, as you were giving the examples that we see in the Bible, one thing that I noticed, whether you talked about Lot and Noah, you know, one thing that we notice is that they're very small numbers. The remnant that we find in the Bible, the examples that we find of that remnant principle, it's always just a handful of people. What does this tell us about, you know, we live in a world where we find safety in numbers. Maybe there's a warning there for us, I feel like.
Yes. You know, Christ says broad is the way that leads to destruction, and narrow is the way that leads to eternal life. Now, the concept behind this is that, you see, generally speaking, human beings, we are comfortable. We are okay where we are comfortable, you know. You see, okay, practically speaking, if I were to give you, say, a Mercedes-Benz, you know, brand new Mercedes-Benz, and then I'll tell you which road do you want to drive it in, the highway or the bush road? The answer would be the highway.
Yeah.
Because, you see, you're rarely going to find potholes there. The road is tarred, okay? And the bush road is going to have ridges, is going to have potholes and stuff like that. So you will really be, you will not be comfortable. So when it comes to issues of restriction, most of us don't take it lightly, you know. The law basically restricts us in terms of how we should live. And so we're comfortable with living a life that doesn't restrict us. And so we find it easier to be on the broad way that leads to destruction than the narrow way that leads to salvation. And so even though, and fewer find it, actually that's what Christ says, very few people find it because it's narrow. And so principally, when you look at throughout history, you know, when we talk about remnant throughout history, the remnant will be very few. Okay, it's just a few individuals that decides to remain faithful. But what is interesting, and this is the core of the message, what is interesting is that, you see, in the issue of the remnant, we are talking about hope and future restoration. If there will be people in that small group of people, if there are individuals who have remained faithful throughout history, why should we not believe that even us, God can keep us faithful?
Yes, that's the thing. And that's what comes to my mind when I see that scripture, Revelation 12:17, those who keep the commandments of God. That means there is a group. And if there is such a group, why can't I also be a part of that group? What's so special about them? They don't have some supernatural, ability to obey, which is not available to me. That same Holy Spirit that's guiding them, I also have access to that Holy Spirit. So there's no excuse.
Amen. Amen. Amen.
So what a challenge. Well, how would you wrap up today's conversation? It's just an introductory phase of this lesson about the remnant and its mission. What are some key points that we should leave with as we get ready to go deeper into the subject?
So the whole instance is that, God is faithful. There's no way God would call you to on a journey if he's not going to provide the means. When God calls Abram out of Babylon, you know, he doesn't even tell him where he is taking him, all right? But when he has taken him, he says, I'm going to bless you. He has responded. And then he says, I'm going to bless you beyond your greatest stretch of imagination. And through you, I'm going to bless the rest of the world. Now, for sure, through Abraham, we are blessed because that's where Christ comes from, you know. And so if God is faithful to keep Abraham on the promises that he had given him, then he is also faithful to keep us faithful. So ours is just to trust him. We don't have to say, no, this is an already chosen a group of people, mm-hmm. you know, mm-hmm. And it's just for the Seventh-day Adventists, because they actually claim it. No, we can, every one of us, as long as we hear the message that is very categorical in Revelation chapter 12, verse 17, that we would want to keep his commandments and would want to have the testimony of Jesus in our heart. Yeah. And once we do that, then we are good to go. We are part of the remnant, God's chosen people.
Amen. Amen. What a beautiful word and a beautiful way for us to wrap up this introductory conversation to the subject of the remnant and its mission. Thank you so much, my elder. Look forward to connecting again tomorrow.
Thank you very much, Mogi. Thank you very much. Much appreciated.
Amen. Amen.
You are tuned into Adventist World Radio, powered by SID Media.